And now to the shortage of healthcare workers in rural communities. It's an issue that the Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative is laser focused on, as its network is operated by 45 acute care rural hospitals. Do you work at a hospital that is short staffed? What is that like? Have you had to limit your bed capacity or work back-to-back shifts due to staffing constraints? Share what you're experiencing in your clinic, on your floor, 800-642-1234. Tim Size is founding executive director of the Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative. Tim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me again, Kate.
Well, what are your conversations like with your network rural hospitals right now about staffing levels?
Well, they're thankfully a lot... It's still a significant issue, but it's a lot less stressful than it was 2 and 3 weeks ago, as hospitalization rates have really started to come down from the pandemic. We do have shortages. We will continue to have shortages in the kind of pandemic driven shortages are some specific areas like lab techs, CNAs, respiratory therapists. Our concern, though, is that we need to be thinking much longer term, and in particular, having at top of mind the recent report that came out showing that we're going to be about 16,000 nurses short pretty soon, by 2035. And given the amount of time it takes to ramp up programs and recruit kids and get teachers, that's like around the corner. What that means is, let's say it's the projections are twice as pessimistic as they should be, and it's only 8,000. That still dwarfs the shortages of nurses that we've experienced during the pandemic. And I think regardless of politics about masking and vaccination, I think we've all seen what happens to our access to healthcare when we're short thousands of nurses.
This is a chronic problem. These shortages have been with us for a while. My guess is they were worsened by the pandemic. What has been done over the years to address this problem?
We have gradually increased the number of graduates in our schools of nursing and other healthcare professions through our universities, college, the vocational technical system. But we are talking about something very different now, and I have to be very clear about it. And it's largely not driven by the pandemic. Yes, we did get some early retirements from the pandemic. People got burned out, understandably so, and have just decided to do something else with their lives. The real big issue is the silver tsunami, the aging and retirement of baby boomers. And unlike other parts of our economy and our state, when people retire and leave the being a nurse or a doctor or a lab tech, what have you, unfortunately, around the same time, they start themselves to be more active consumers, users, patients of healthcare. And so it's kind of a double whammy. And we have not adequately prepared for the retirement of the baby boomers. And so that's largely what is driving this projection of 16,000 nurses short.
Here's something I really also want to ask you. And I get the demographics piece, the aging Wisconsin piece, but in the hospitals themselves, do the care models of these hospitals rely too heavily on nurses? Are nurses being asked to do too much?
Well, they certainly were during the pandemic, because there weren't enough nurses. Nursing is central to healthcare, and particularly hospital care. There are adjustments that can be made. More technology may save some needs for some nurses, but Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce, which did this study, their projections are very consistent with the Wisconsin Center for Nursing and the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. And they kind of take a conservative approach, and I don't mean politically, but just in terms of whenever they had a chance to estimate something, they were more cautious. So that's the best number we have. Yeah, we could all of a sudden have every nurse in every other state in America come to Wisconsin, or we could suddenly discover five pills that make hospitalizations not necessary. But I think that's not a prudent approach. The prudent approach is we have to recognize we only produce about 3,200 nurses a year. And so to make up this gap of 16,000, that's an increase of 50% over the next 10 years. That's a very, very heavy lift. And the longer we delay addressing this issue, the more difficult it is going to be to close the gap.
Well, speaking of nurses coming to Wisconsin, what about travel nurses and how they have been used in the shortage?
With some controversy.
You think?
That's been a stressor for all of our hospitals. Yes. And the reality is when you have patients waiting to be in the emergency room to be admitted to a bed and you don't have enough people, you have to make certain choices. I'm looking forward to day travelers become something in the background in true emergencies. But it's obviously, it was something that helped, but it's also something that created a great deal of discontent.
Certainly the headlines, the news reports on travel nurses earning, you know, $90 an hour, $10,000 a week on a 36-hour work week. Axios reporting in recent days that travel nursing staffing firms are hitting their biggest revenue highs in the fourth quarter, really cashing out as hospitals pay top dollar. What do those reports mean to you in terms of your rural hospitals?
I think it's totally been driven by the pandemic. And we were in existential crisis 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. We had no choice but to use travelers. I think as our numbers come back to normal, our use of travelers will be much more episodic as it has been historically. And you're right, the firms that had the infrastructure to provide travelers had made out like bandits during this time. But I think it's a mistake to say we've seen the future. I think what we saw was a partially helpful, partially dysfunctional response to an unprecedented shortage and emergency in our healthcare system. In fact, it's a good point in terms of if we don't increase substantially the number of nurses that are being trained and graduated in our state, we will get right back to this dependency on travelers, which is very much Peter robbing Paul between hospitals among states. So if we don't want to go back to this period of time of dependency on nurses that nobody can afford at that level, we really have to ramp up our education here. I mean, the numbers are clear. We have to face this threat. And the longer we look the other way, the harder the fix will be.
Tim Size founded the Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative decades ago. Do you work in healthcare at a hospital or clinic? Have you considered leaving the field, retiring? Where might you go? What do you make of the vacant jobs? Or is your healthcare team back to full staff? Still time to talk about what you see. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Tim Size here on the Ideas Network. The Omicron surge battered hospital staffing, especially among nurses, pushed hospitals to rely more heavily on travel nurses, as we've been talking about, discussing the implications for rural hospitals here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the new American College of Healthcare Executives annual survey, staffing and personnel shortages are the number one concern hospital CEOs faced in 2021, and marked the first time in 17 years that staffing fears overtook financial challenges as a top concern. So what should Wisconsin do to boost its number of healthcare workers? Should travel nurse salaries be capped? 800-642-1234. Tim Size leads the Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative, a network of 45 rural hospitals, with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring in Lori now in Milwaukee. Lori, you were a nurse for 40 years.
Yes.
What would you like to bring up?
Well, what I'd like to bring up with nurses being short-staffed has been a problem for the 40 years I was a nurse. Short-staffing, people think nurses get paid a lot, but when you take any technical vocation that's dominated by men, plumbers, electricians, painters, nurses' wages pale in comparison. I never really took a break when I worked on the floor in a hospital. I didn't have time to do everything you're supposed to do, required you to be basically working every minute. And with the pandemic, I actually retired December before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. It was planned. I was going to go back to help. I felt it a moral imperative, but when I was told I wouldn't even be offered a mask that would be protective, I'm 67. I thought, well, I want to help, but I don't want to give my life. But nurses have never stood up for themselves and their patients and demanded adequate staffing. And so this, you know, and then there, and then what I found here, I'll ramble, ironic is that traveler nurses have always gotten paid excessive wages. It bothered me as a floor nurse, but they're talking about capping nurses' wages in a crisis as if nurses are price gouging, and yet it's always been that way. You know, I mean, it's just ironic.
Lori, Lori, you bring up so many points here. Tim, what are your thoughts? What's coming up?
Well, I guess what I've been trying to say, we have to substantially increase the number of nurses we are educating. I would say there's a lot of interest in nursing. Most of our schools have waiting lists. The problem is our faculty are aging out and the schools cannot compete with the salaries of comparably trained nurses who are doing clinical practice. So we currently are not really replacing the faculty we have. At the time, we need to significantly grow it. And so if you think of it, it's like an hourglass, and the choke point isn't hospitals, it's not dollars they pay, it's the lack of faculty to train the next generation of nurses.
But, you know, I mean, going back to Lori's points, never taking a break, working every minute on the floor, not being able to, you know, get done what you're supposed to get done in that time. And Lori's saying, look, nurses haven't stood up for fair wages. What would you say on that point?
I don't know Lori. I don't know her experience. It is an experience that some nurses have had in some hospitals. I don't think it's typical of the hospitals we work with. Nurses I know, in fact, are pretty assertive. Maybe I just know a different group of nurses. In terms of the financial ability of our hospitals to pay more, my biggest concern for our hospitals is they're not like sitting on cash. And I'm speaking for rural hospitals. I can't speak for all hospitals, but about 40% of America's hospitals are either at immediate or high risk of closure. So I would agree. If we as rural hospitals can only pay that which society insures and government gives us in cash to pay people, and it's a balancing act that we do as good as we can.
Well, let me ask you this: do you see in your rural hospitals nurses advancing to be executives? Do you have any former nurses who are now CEOs of rural hospitals?
Absolutely, and they're on my board of directors.
Do they offer a different glimpse, do you think, you know, than what we're seeing elsewhere? Do they prioritize nurses?
I think all the administrators I know, whether they started their career as a nurse or not, prioritize nurses. And the caller from Milwaukee may disagree with me, but my experience is different than hers. They're the majority of the workforce, certainly of the professional workforce in our hospitals. You don't survive long as an administrator without listening very deeply to what those nurses think about healthcare.
Have nurses had adequate representation? You know, we've seen unions, nursing unions in other states, very much have a prominent role in protecting wages, in advocating for nurses. What is the role of unions? Of course, unionizing here in Wisconsin, you know, not the case.
With maybe one exception, that's, you need a different guest to address that. It's very much more a larger hospital urban issue. We are in your smaller communities and smaller hospitals, they tend to work things out. And that's, well, you don't tend to see unions in smaller rural hospitals. So it's just something I'm not very conversant about.
What about hiring international nurses, allocating immigrant visas expressly for nurses? I think this is the Healthcare Workforce Resilience Act out of Congress, you know, prioritizing healthcare workers from other countries.
We've rural Wisconsin has always been dependent on flow of trained professionals from other countries, particularly in medicine, somewhat less so in nursing. But again, it's a complex issue. That's part of a solution. I'm much more comfortable with us growing our own as long as we have many Wisconsin men and women trying to get in schools of nursing. So I think it's the responsible thing for us to increase the ability to train those people.
But what is constricting class sizes in these colleges and universities? I mean, I've heard that you can only have so many student nurses in the clinical setting at once. It's hard to expand these class sizes. You mentioned nursing instructors can earn more in private practice. So what are those barriers of just growing class sizes?
Well, there's national accreditation that dictates those sorts of things. And that's why my focus has been on how do we facilitate our schools to have be able to compete for highly trained nurses to come into the schools and teach the next generation.
Tim, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Tim Tsai is founding executive director of the Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.